From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunder Stowe on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergood Odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergood Odds, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third for the inside. Then it's Don Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are together again overlooking the walking ring at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as we welcome you not only to this program, but to the third Pegasus World Cup Day. $16 million in purses on the line between two races here this afternoon, the $9 million Pegasus World Cup and the $7 million Pegasus World Cup Turf. In total, 12 races, 9 stakes, 6 of those graded, and a total of more than $17 million in purses up for grabs. What a day it is going to be. But, JT, nobody told Mother Nature that this was going to be a special day here in South Florida.
Yeah, she's not cooperating.
To say the least.
Looks like it's not going to change much. There's gray sky as far as you can see. Anyway, we'll use the words of Chichi Rodriguez, the great golfer. God makes the day, and I live through it. And that's where we're at today.
Going to take a little work to live through this one in some aspects here today, because it is going to be rainy. It is going to be windy. It'll be cooler than what we're used to here in South Florida. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm not even sure if we reach the 60-degree mark. And I believe the high for the day is predicted to be right around 68. The main track is now sealed. It was raining throughout much of the early hours this morning. So the main track is sealed. The training this morning was canceled. They're trying everything they can to keep this track in good shape for this afternoon's races. Special guest co-host Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence is sitting in with us here this morning for the 2 hours. Mark, look, the Gulfstream is going to take all precautions. They're going to do everything they can to get this track in good shape by race time. Special first post of 11:30. But when you get the rain here in South Florida, it can come down heavy and it can come down quickly.
Absolutely. And when you look at the radar, it's stretched back to the west about as far as you can see, and it seems to be building.
Yeah, the momentum building. Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah, so when you're handicap for an off-race track and handicap more than likely for a turf that's going to have a little bit of give to it, which is something, Jude, that we're not used to seeing here in South Florida.
No, not at all. This is very rare to have a day like this, and especially this time of year, but, you know, it is what it is. I was optimistic. I packed some swim trunks. Not going to be in use this trip.
No. We flew
I
in.
Also packed my passport, though, in case I made a big score, and then I'll go to the Bahamas.
Oh, there you go. Well played. Barbados, maybe.
Barbados.
Yeah, that would work, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That would definitely work.
It has been a busy week, Mark, and you know it better than anybody. We got here on Wednesday. Thursday night, Gulfstream hosted the Eclipse Awards, which was an amazing event. Red Brand Fence, a sponsor of the Eclipse Awards and NTRA, and part of that program, had a chance to sit with you at the table. What a night that was.
Yeah, great night. They really did do a nice event. It was a really fun night. Great group we had. And, you know, we were even honored to be able to present one of the awards, which was really fun for us to do. So Yeah, really honored. NTRA did a great job. Strongest Group did a great job. It really turned out very nice.
Yeah, special night. Justify, Triple Crown winner. No surprise there.
No surprise there.
At least not
There's
to
a few
me,
other
anyway.
Surprises, but that wasn't one of them.
Yeah, Horse of the Year. Accelerate, who we're going to see later today, the likely favorite in the Pegasus World Cup. He gets champion older male. That was pretty much a done deal. I don't think there was any debate about that one. And look, when you talk about Accelerate, you look at him, you look at City of Light in today's World Cup. What a showdown that was between those two last year. City of Light, the only horse to defeat Accelerate in 2018. They meet again here in the Pegasus, JT, and some people thinking City of Light may be the horse to beat this afternoon, not Accelerate.
Well, with the track conditions, which we don't exactly know yet, surprisingly, City of Light figures to be in front of Accelerate most of the way, so that gives him a little bit of an edge. Whenever you're looking at a match race, you want the horse that's on the lead. But anything can happen when the track comes up off, and we'll have to see how everybody handles it. The good thing is, by the time that race comes around to bet on, we will have seen all the other races, so we'll know how things are going, and we'll see who the best horse might be to play. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to affect the betting all that much. I mean, those horses are top class, and they can probably handle any kind of surface.
Yeah, I was walking around the backside yesterday, and that was a topic of discussion with almost every trainer that I ran into. And Dallas Stewart stopped as he was driving out of the racetrack. He pulled over, and we had a conversation about his horse, Seeking the Soul, six-year-old. And he said, I don't know if he's ever raced on a wet track. Here he is, 6 years of age, and he's had, 23 starts in his career. And Dallas says, I don't know if he's ever been on a wet track in the afternoons. Now, he did say he trained well on a wet track, which gives him some confidence, but I guess you never know until they do it in the afternoon.
That was my question with a few of the horses. I think there's a couple of them out there that really haven't raced in these conditions. You also have to ask yourself what the temperature and, having it in their face is going to do to them today. I think this could make a case for somebody that they're not expecting to see up front.
Yeah, and every time that they seal the racetrack, like I mentioned, it's sealed here this morning, training canceled. Jude, it's always speed favoring, right?
Right.
Typically, it tends to be more speed favoring when the racetrack is sealed. Gulfstream is noted for being a more favoring to front runners anyway. So now with it being sealed, with it being a wet racetrack, does that favor a horse that has speed even more?
I would think so. I mean, I would think speed would be the order of the day. And I don't think they'll dig into this track much, especially in light of the auto forecast that we got of rain coming all afternoon. So I think they'll just, scrape the surface and have a little bit of cushion, but try to keep the base as firm as they can.
How about in terms of the turf course? What does this rain do to the turf course and that $7 million Pegasus World Cup turf?
Well, it's probably the only turf race we'll see today.
Could be. Yeah, you got some other good ones, too. Like the race before the two is the Grade 3 W.L. McKnight. That's a good one.
It's a very good race. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they'll do, but it would seem foolish to blow the course for the rest of the meet by running a lot of turf racing. And I don't know, we got a couple of turf sprints too, so there's probably going to be a ream of scratch cards going into the office, and we'll just have to see what happens. It's really unfortunate. I do not like it when you have great racing and off conditions. And I think that's the reason a lot of those horses have never run on off tracks. I mean, trainers avoid it like the plague, and a horse like Dallas's horse, six-year-old, Dallas has probably had him since he was two or close to it. And, you just don't want to run a top horse on an off track. You don't want to run any horse sometimes. There's those few horses that love off tracks, but, trainers try to avoid them as much as possible.
So I have this quick story before we get to the commercial break, and we'll tell folks what's coming up throughout the next 2 hours. But we went to dinner last night over here at a place called Mateo's that we heard was supposed to be very good. The food was good. We had a good meal, but it took forever to get our meal. The service wasn't great. But I've never had this happen to me at a restaurant before, and this is why I'm telling the story. The waiter comes over. I had ordered veal parmesan. Shocker, right? Every time I go to an Italian restaurant, I get veal parmesan. It's
well
just
done.
Automatic, yeah. So the waiter comes over, and he starts putting the meals out for everybody. And your son Miles had gotten chicken parmesan, and he hands him his dish. And then he says, chicken parmesan, and he puts it down in front of me. And I says, oh, no, I had the veal parmesan. And he looks, without missing a beat, he looks and he says, oh, no, I put in two chickens. I got you chicken parm. And he walked away.
Enjoy.
He walked away.
Yeah.
It was like the soup Nazi, right, on Seinfeld. right? No veal for you. I've never seen anything like it. That was remarkable.
He was watching out for you. He just wanted to make sure you ate well. Yeah. Maybe he knew something that you didn't.
He took one look at me and he said, oh, no, you're eating chicken, pal.
You're not a veal guy.
By the way, he ate the chicken parm.
It was actually pretty good. It was not a bad call on the waiter's part at all. All right, so over the next 2 hours, here's what's coming up. Tim Ritvo, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Stronach Group, is going to be with us to kick off the program in just about 5 minutes from right now. Mike McCarthy, who is the trainer of Pegasus World Cup contender City of Light, is going to join us at 8:45 Eastern. Kate Hunter, who is the Pegasus World Cup representative for the Japan Racing Association, will be with us to talk about their charge going postward the filly in the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational. Bernie Sams from Claiborne will be joining us by phone for our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. That is, of course, focusing on the Claiborne Stallions this morning. And then you're going to hear from trainers Bill Mott and from Todd Pletcher later in the program as well. So a lot of things to get to. Our poll question that you can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, is quite simple. Who is your pick to win today's Pegasus World Cup? Not the World Cup turf, but the Pegasus World Cup. Who is your pick to win? We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. So go there now, at HRRN on Twitter, and let us know. We'll try to pass along those selections throughout the program. Maybe we'll determine from your answers who is going to be the favorite in this afternoon's race. All right, that's all ahead. We're going to get to our first break. Tim Ritvo coming up next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Springs Stallion, point of entry.
As they come down to the finish, point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
It is point of entry in front. Treasure Beach can't stay with him. Kindergarten Kid comes down the inside from third, and they're coming down to the finish. And point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Now, with winners in eight countries on all surfaces, up to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multi-graded stakes winner, Analyze It, in his first crop, and stakes winner and Grade 1 placed My Gal Betty from his second crop, the heir to Dynaformer. And the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrogate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back fourth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5. Gunrunner set down for the drive by Florent Giroux. He leads by 2. West Coast, the only one with a chance. He's second. Well clear of the others. A battle on for third with Fear the Cowboy coming on. Gunrunner needs another 16th. It's Gunrunner in front. He'll go out a winner. He's the horse of the year, and he's Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup. He won by 2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and special guest co-host Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, my beautiful wife Michelle pushing all the buttons on site. Lee Delapina back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, playing hurt today, but doing a great job keeping everything on track for you for the next 2 hours. Don't forget, we're back this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. You can tune in to our exclusive radio coverage of the Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup Turf. That comes your way on Sirius XM Channel 93, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. So a different Sirius channel than you're listening to right now. Sirius XM 93, 4 to 6 Eastern. That coverage presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Guys, we talked about it at the open to the show. As, by the way, we're awaiting Tim Ripbo to make his appearance here on the program. Overcast skies, rain is kind of the order of the day. It looks like it's going to rain off and on throughout the day, maybe heavier as we get toward post time of those races, closer to 5:30 this afternoon. And because of that, races 1, 3, and 5 have been taken off the turf here at Gulfstream. That courtesy of our friend Michael Herner from Gainesway just texted me a few minutes ago, said 1, 3, and 5 off the turf today. So wait for the changes. Not sure if we'll have them before we finish up at 10 o'clock, but if we do, we'll pass them along. There will no doubt be some scratches in those off the turfers.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of first-time starters in the first race, too, so trainers will have the option if they think their horse will be okay in the slop or whatever they're going to call the track.
Yeah.
But the other races, the turf sprints, they're always tough when they take them off the turf because some of those horses don't handle the dirt at all.
We heard that montage coming out of the break of Arrogate winning the Pegasus, the inaugural 3 years ago, Gunrunner winning it last year. Pete Aiello had the call of both of those races. He'll have the call of the Pegasus World Cup on our broadcast this afternoon as well. Accelerate going to look to become the third consecutive Breeders' Cup Classic winner to come here and win the Pegasus. And when you look at him, guys, yeah, here's a horse that won 4 grade ones last year, champion older male, had that tremendous season. But I think a lot of people, Mark, for whatever reason, are looking at him and saying, he doesn't look like Arrogate. He doesn't look like Gunrunner. He looks like he could be a bit vulnerable in the World Cup this afternoon.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, he's a great horse. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, you know, I think, you know, there's great horses and there's exceptional horses. And I, you know, I'm a little partial, as everybody knows, on Baffert Barn. But Arrogate was just a freak. And I think, you know, he was a different horse.
Yep.
And I think... You know, you could make a case for a couple other ones here, but, you know, I mean, Accelerate's definitely a nice horse. There's not trying to take anything away from him, but he's going to have to earn it today.
He's going to have to earn it today, and he's going to have to do it on a racetrack that's more than likely
yeah.
going to be a wet racetrack, which is maybe a little bit different. I'd have to go back and look at his past performances real quick to see if he has competed on wet tracks before, but being based in California, I wouldn't think he's had a lot of experience on a JT.
And yeah, the temperature. Highly unlikely. I think the temperature?
Yeah, I mean,
today
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to benefit the shippers a lot. It's not your typical South Florida afternoon. It's going to be, you know, chilly. Yesterday when we were doing the show here, it got really cold. I mean, I hate to say that because there's people in 6-degree weather, but
yeah.
But it felt with the wind whipping through the paddock here and. It's true.
Right about the time that you know the last race went off, you could definitely feel the temperature dropping.
Right now, my phone is showing that it's 56 degrees here in Fort Lauderdale with the light rain that is falling kind of off and on, and that breeze makes it feel even a touch cooler. So again, there are people that are dealing with sub-zero temperatures right now, but for South Florida, this is a bit chilly. It's unusual to be here and have these kind of conditions, especially on a big day. We haven't had these kind of conditions on a big day here in a long time. Accelerate, by the way, won the Santa Anita Handicap last year over a track at Santa Anita listed as wet fast. Now, Jude, compare a wet fast track at Santa Anita to a sloppy sealed track here at Gulfstream.
Well, it'd be about the same, I would think. I would think it'd be very, very similar. You know, a sealed track, when it's wet, chances are at Santa Anita it's sealed. And sealed here, I think it'd be relatively comparable. You know, they say there's 5,000 different kinds of mud. Old racetrack axiom.
Yeah.
I'm going to be one of those someday. And, you know, it's a situation where speed horses or horses that have a lot of quality, like Accelerate, they can handle pretty much anything that's thrown at them. But his record on and off track is two starts, a win, and a second. So I don't think we have to worry about him track condition-wise. I think the only thing they'll have to worry about is them. If he wins the race, they'll say, "Oh yeah, he loves the mud."
Yeah,
there you go.
Right. So you know, and by the same token, City of Light has never competed on an off track.
Right.
You know, he's got a pedigree for it, but that doesn't mean he's going to like it anymore.
Yeah, he definitely has the pedigree to handle it. Being by Quality Road out of a De Hare mare should have no problem from that point. But you don't know till they actually do it. And you know, let's talk about him for a minute. The only horse to defeat Accelerate in 2018 when he beat him in the Oaklawn Handicap in April, and then of course Accelerate came back, turned the tables in the Santa Anita Gold Cup in May. So you get a rematch between those two, the rubber match, if you will. And City of Light, ultra-talented. He comes out a huge win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile where he really just dominated the field wire to wire. Do you expect the same running style today, JT? Is he in front from the get-go?
Yeah, well, I would imagine he's going to go, especially on and off track. Hopefully, they don't have to rush him. I think a lot of times the key to success on and off track is letting the horse find a place where he's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear jocks talk about it, and you'll see some trainers. Pattern recognition is the other speed. He's got a horrible post. He's going to have to fly out of there. So they're probably going to have to really ask him. But if City of Light gets a good break and can get some confidence in the first few strides, he's going to be tough to get by.
Yeah, I see Mark nodding his head over here in agreement. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. The other one I think you have to watch, and I may be alone in this, is Audible. I mean, he's, you know, another horse you can make a case for.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of talent, but he doesn't have nearly the early speed of City of Light. So City of Light conceivably could make an easy lead, and it's just going to be like if he gets left or doesn't get away cleanly, and then the jock has to, you know, kind of get him up there and push him. A lot of times horses that are running in the mud for the first time, they resent that, you know, so.
Yeah, and speaking of Audible, we're going to hear more from trainer Todd Pletcher in the second half of the program. But one thing he did mention when he caught up with Jude and Anthony on Express Bet Radio earlier this week was he feels like Audible's best efforts. And look, you're talking about a horse that won the Florida Derby here last year and was one of the favorites going into the Kentucky Derby. He feels like his best efforts come when he gets a good pace in front of him and gets that target so he can go after them, right? Because he is, as Jude said, a horse that's going to come off the pace a little bit. Does he get that kind of setup in this race today?
Well, I mean, we just talked about two speed horses that are talented, you know.
Yep.
And so there's going to be a little bit of pace on. And Audible, he's never won on an off track, but both of his races he finished second and third. So he can handle the track. So he could get a nice setup. I mean, the race might play right into his hands.
He definitely seems like a horse you don't want to leave out.
Right.
You know, he seems like he's going to be there somewhere. And it definitely seems, I mean, you guys have forgotten more than I know, but it seems like one of the days where you could be surprised.
Yeah, very easily. Very easily. Speaking of being surprised then, do we have to talk about the coach, Dwayne Lucas, with Bravazo? I mean, right here's a horse that is
another one.
Always shows up. He danced almost every dance last year. Went to, you know, what, he was in the Derby. He was in the Preakness. He was in the Belmont. He's a horse that just competes and shows up and usually runs his A race. Is it going to be good enough? And can the coach's magic come through again? Can he pull a rabbit out of a hat?
And some of these guys are late bloomers. You know, I mean, you look at, before the Derby, Wayne was really excited about him. He seemed really, you know, upbeat on him. So I seriously doubt. I mean, you almost have to trust his instincts. You have to believe there's something in that horse he saw.
Right.
You know,
right.
So is he going to show up sooner or later?
Yeah, well, he seems to show up every time. He doesn't always win, but he's an interesting horse, and he's definitely experienced, and he's drawn well. So we'll have to see what comes out of it. But I mean, he's one of those horses with the off track. I mean, he's got good enough form where you don't want to throw him out necessarily. I mean, you can't use every horse, but
that's why today I think could be an interesting day, because you can, there's the horses you can make a case for on paper, and then there's the horses you can make a case for just over their career.
Right.
I'll give you another name in here. Gunnavera.
Yeah.
We're here in South Florida, Gulfstream Park. Gunnavera loves Gulfstream Park. This is his home track. 9 starts, 4 wins, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. So 8 out of 9 on the board. He won the Fountain of Youth in 2017. He has plenty of class. He always seems to show up and be running at the end. Could Gunnavera be the one to upset the apple cart a little bit for Antonio Sano?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he won. He's grown on me, that horse. I think he's got a lot of talent, and he's getting better with age. I think he's one of those horses that's figuring it out, he's a cool horse. I like him. I have respect for him. On paper, his numbers aren't as good as the top horses, but he's certainly a trier.
And he put in that good effort in the Breeders' Cup Classic last time, second, beating the length by Accelerate. So that, okay, if you like Accelerate, I guess you have to like Gunnavera a little bit too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And now Gunnavera has the home field advantage.
Yeah, he's developing into a horse that shows up, and that's a good thing. I mean, he runs good races almost all the time now. So,
and you've got Ired on him.
Yeah, he's a little hot, huh?
Just a little.
I can't believe that Ired wasn't back on Kukulkan, right? The Mexican Triple Crown winner. He won the Clásico del Caribe with him.
That's right. Don't count that horse out.
I don't think he has a chance. A snowball's chance.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm betting on him now.
Yeah.
Barrett's put him in the winner's
there
circle.
There you go. Head to the window.
Oh, man.
I can't see. I mean,
I might have to go to the ATM machine now.
Numbers don't lie. And you look at the Clásico del Caribe, right? A race restricted to horses just from the Caribbean, right? 1:54 4/5 was the final running time for the mile and an eighth. And then you turn around and you look at Accelerate and the times that he ran last year throughout that remarkable season that got him champion older mare. And you look at his mile and an eighth time in a race like the Awesome Again, 1:50 1/5, and that wasn't even his fastest performance. So from that perspective, Kukulkan has to make up 4 seconds, which equivalates to what, 20 lengths in horse racing. That's a lot.
But I'm not going by the actual time. I mean, we all sit here and look at speed figures all day and all night, and he got a 101 Brisnet speed figure winning that race last time.
He did. He had a 100 late pace number, which I love.
Right. So so why are you knocking this horse?
Because the time was too slow. Final time.
Final time is dependent on what the racetrack is. The racetrack was obviously slow that
today.
Day.
The racetrack is different today.
Right?
That's right.
And
that's right.
His trainer, Fausto Gutierrez, who is a really smart guy, has said that this horse has yet to have an effort. He has never made an effort.
Yeah, the other thing he told us.
Yeah, I got to side with you, Jude. I mean, he's making such a case for it. I'm checking my Twin Spires account right now.
We'll just single him
I think we have to.
And we'll walk out of here. We'll be the two guys with the guards walking out of
here. That's right. You will be using your swimsuit this
weekend.
That's
right. You may be coming with me.
That's right. I don't know. No. You can use your swimsuit by yourself.
You have a better
be
chance.
I love you to death.
Be the best weekend you ever had.
You have a better chance of the temperatures hitting 80 degrees here today than you do.
Oh my gosh, he's forcing us. I'm scooting my chair.
No chance.
Oh,
I do not see that. I know he's 14 for 14. I know he's the Mexican Triple Crown.
No, I think, I think we got to throw an Anthony's 84 dinner on top of this, too.
unbelievable.
Yeah,
the horse has a cool story. You gotta love the story.
Yeah.
You gotta love the Indy. There's some speed there.
Okay, to kind of help your case along just a little bit, gentlemen. One thing that Fausto Gutierrez, the trainer, told Jude and I on this program last weekend was that he took him home to Mexico City to train after winning the Clásico del Caribe here at Gulfstream Park. Took him back to Mexico City, trained him in altitude there. and then brings him back to sea level here at Gulfstream Park. And he feels like that's a huge advantage. He feels like that develops his lungs, much like an athlete would
athletes.
Go train in,
yeah,
say, Denver, Colorado,
too.
And then, you know, come back to a lower altitude venue. So he feels like that's an advantage for him. Look, he could train at the top of Mount Everest, and I don't think he's good enough to beat these horses.
Oh, my gosh. He's forcing us.
Really? I'm really shocked.
I'm telling you.
I mean, we're not saying he's a cinch or anything, but I certainly...
But it is getting closer.
It's looking awful good at this point.
All right, well...
Fausto again, doesn't even know all the help he's getting this morning.
This was the segment that Tim Ritbo was set to stop by. Obviously,
Tim's probably placing a bet.
Yeah. He's listening right now on the stream, and he's like, you know what? The heck with that.
I got to head to the window.
Cashing a check in the money room.
Yeah. That's right. Hitting his Express Bet account. So obviously he has a very, very busy day. All of the Stronach dignitaries are in town, so I'm sure he is extremely busy. So we'll excuse him this morning, and we'll get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment that's brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. When we come back, we'll banter back and forth for a few more minutes, kind of tell you what's ahead today, and then trainer Mike McCarthy coming up at 8:45 Eastern time. Stay with us. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
A Forley out of Lady Golconda by Hasty Road and was foaled in 1970, the same year as Secretariat. But while Secretariat began showing championship mettle as soon as he began to train, this horse was very rapidly acquiring a marked reputation as an unmanageable rogue. He was a huge colt who very early on displayed an ungentlemanly interest in fillies. Further, he had the dangerous and painful habit of savaging any individual who dared come close enough to him. His owners, the Lazy F Ranch, had him gelded to try to correct a problem, and though that surgical process made him at least trainable, he never got to the racetrack till he was three. He broke his maiden in his second start and had second-place finishes in the Hutchinson Stakes and the Florida Derby. But he ran a distant fourth while priced at 28-1 to Secretariat in that colt's record-smashing win in the Kentucky Derby. This horse came into his own in his sophomore season on the track in the fall, with convincing scores in the Roamer and the Discovery Handicaps at Aqueduct, and that, as the saying goes, was the start of something big indeed. At four, his star shone brightly in the heavens of thoroughbred racing. He began that campaign with four straight wins. He was a strikingly handsome, huge bay, standing 17-plus hands, and one could easily pick him out of a crowd of horses at any distance. He did have a gift. A gift for the crowd-pleasing late charge had made him very popular with the public, and horsemen were awed by his incredible versatility. At the conclusion of his four-year-old campaign, he won the 12-furlong Woodward by a neck, and 3 weeks later came back to soundly whip the nation's premier sprinters and the 7-furlong Vosburgh Handicap, winning it by three. And just 3 weeks after that, he rolled to a devastating win over a solid field of 9 distance horses in the grueling 2-mile Jockey Club Gold Cup. In that year of 1974, he won 3 Eclipse Awards, Best Older Horse or Gelding, Best Sprinter, and Horse of the Year. He followed that year with 2 other scores as Horse of the Year, both in 1975 and 1976. In both those years, he won 2 legs of the Handicap Triple Crown. The second year, just missing the triple and losing by a heartbreaking nose to Foolish Pleasure in the Suburban. His 1976 campaign, his final on the racetrack, found him chalking up one of the most remarkable victories in the chronicled annals of racing in the Marlborough Cup. Honest Pleasure was in receipt of 18 pounds from this horse, who was burdened with a weighty impost of 137 pounds. Honest Pleasure moved out to what appeared to be an insurmountable lead in that 10-furlong test. At the top of the stretch, you couldn't find our horse of the day with a proverbial searchlight. But on a sloppy track, Bill Shoemaker turned him loose and he gobbled up huge chunks of real estate in an absolutely breathtaking run that made him appear as though literally shot from a cannon. He got up to win it in the very last stride by a head in a heart-stopping charge to the wire. He was finally forced into retirement by a bad ankle, but not before he had answered the call to post 57 times and winning 34 of those and being in the money on 50 of those occasions. 50 for 57 in the money. Remarkable. That great thoroughbred who turned from rogue to champion and was, in every sense of the word, a people's horse was for go.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pope and faster than Thunder Gulch and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
FDB stands for Flashy Debut Breakthrough.
Free Drop Billy is on the move, needs to find a seam, and splits horses decisively. Free Drop Billy, who wins it by 2.5 in the end.
FDB stands for Fast Dirt Brilliance.
Into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by 3. Bravazo wins second, but no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it.
Free Drop Billy, Union Rags' only Grade 1 winner at stud. New for 2019 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Promises fulfilled is all in. Here's Audible looming up on the outside, and Catholic Boy tries to rally. Hoffberg in the center of the course has good-looking momentum for Jose Ortiz. With less than a quarter of a mile to go, they're at the top of the stretch. Audible let loose on the outside to take the lead from Mississippi, who's back to second. Hoffberg straightens up and tries to finish up. With less than an eighth of a mile to go, it's the Holy Bull winner, Audible, who's clear. Audible by 3. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. 5 Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5. Second was Hoffberg. Third was Mississippi. Then Catholic Boy and Millionaire Runner in 149-2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Pete Aiello with the call of last year's running of the Florida Derby. And Audible getting the victory for Gulfstream's dominant trainer, Todd Pletcher. We'll see Audible this afternoon as one of the horses to contend with in that Pegasus World Cup Invitational. Post time set for 5:36 Eastern. The race preceding it is the very first running of the newly created Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational. Both of those grade ones. Post time for the turf race is 4:57. Eastern time. And, of course, our coverage this afternoon comes your way 4 to 6 Eastern. It includes the two Pegasus races and the Grade 3 W.L. McKnight. And it will be myself and Jude and Dan Mason and Jeff Bloom who will bring you that coverage 4 to 6 Eastern, SiriusXM Channel 93, streaming worldwide, as always, on our website at horseracingradio.net. And that coverage presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And Mark Otto from Red Brand sitting in this morning as special guest co-host here on the program. Guys, we talked about the weather. If folks are just joining us, supposed to rain throughout the day here this morning. We threw a poll question out there at the top of the show. Who is your pick to win the Pegasus World Cup that is likely going to be run on an off racetrack today? Look, you can go a lot of different ways. We touched on that in the last segment. How about the turf race? That's an interesting race, too. We're going to hear from Kate Hunter, who is the Japan Racing Association representative here at the Pegasus World Cup. Aerolithe is the Japanese contender, five-year-old mare taking on the boys in that turf. A lot of people saying that she looks pretty good here over the past week or 10 days or so. Is Yoshida maybe the horse to beat? He's going to be the morning line favorite, or he is the morning line favorite.
Yeah, that's the talk. But you can make a case for a few other ones here. I mean, you know, you got Bricks and Mortar. You've got, you know, Next Sheriff you can't rule out. You know, he seems to show up. You know, he was phenomenal at Kentucky Downs. He's done quite well.
Yeah, won the Grade 2 San Gabriel last time out at Santa Anita, a horse that's one for one here at Gulfstream. So, yeah, Next Share certainly won. Jude, is it Yoshida and everybody else, or is this so wide open that Yoshida's in trouble?
I don't think he's necessarily in trouble. I mean, I'd love to be part of that entourage today. They have a good chance to win.
Yeah.
And he handles Given the Ground, which is a plus for him as well, but I don't think you can count Catapult out. Catapult is a very good
horse.
Yeah, that's
another one that looks really sharp.
He's a very good horse. He ran great in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, Expert Eye was one of those horses that a lot of people didn't know about. I managed to get lucky and see him train for three straight days, and he just kept catching my eye, and I thought, you know, this horse, he's looking like he's going to win. I mean, he just had a little bit of a tude to him, like, hey, look at me, I'm pretty special, and the way he covered the ground, and I just thought he was, you know, a really nice horse too, and ended up having the exacta with Catapult, but Catapult was my top horse, you know, all week until I saw Expert Eye because I'd never seen him before, but. It's not an easy race. The Japanese filly, her worst races have come with Given the Ground, so I don't think the weather today is in her favor, but doesn't mean she can't win.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear what Kate has to say about Aerolithe when she joins us. Is it Aerolithe, Aerolithe? Well, I've heard it pronounced a couple different ways. I guess Kate can clear that up for us, too. Yeah,
well, she'll say it how she says it.
She'll say it the proper way. Well, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Maybe we should figure out which one the Baron thinks is the no snowballs chance of going.
Yeah, that's why we can play the double.
Catapult.
There we go. We get to the double.
Catapult. Yeah,
tell us, who do you like the least?
We got to finish out our card.
I'm getting tweets about
it. There we go.
I can't believe you could throw out a horse that's 14 and 14 and loves an off track.
I don't think Yoshida wins. How's that?
There you go.
I don't think Yoshida wins it.
You don't like Yoshida?
No, I don't like Yoshida. I don't think Yoshida wins. I'll have to come up with a pick for later, but I just looked at it very quickly as I was prepping for the broadcast, and I don't think Yoshida is.
So who do you like?
I don't know. I'll have to come up with somebody.
The 92nd handicapper.
Yeah, it's definitely not Yoshida in my book, but we'll see what happens later.
There's a lot of
today.
People agree with you.
Yeah, I think Yoshida's beatable. I think Accelerate is beatable. We'll see. Our coverage again, 4 to 6 Eastern time this afternoon, SiriusXM 93 and horseracingradio.net. Mike McCarthy is the trainer of City of Light, and he's joining us next right after this quick break on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
The FTBOA has $100,000 up for grabs for Florida breds in four stakes races on Pegasus Day. Four stakes with $25,000 bonuses for top Florida breds. The Grade 3 Fred Hooper and Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie, along with the Ladies Turf Sprint and Gulfstream Park Turf Sprint. And on Florida Derby Day, March 30th, the Florida Sire Stakes eligible horse that wins the Florida Derby will also earn a $100,000 bonus and a $25,000 bonus in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Breed and race in Florida for more money. Visit FTBOA.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Racing fans, come join us for one of the biggest days of the year this Saturday at Santa Anita. Come early. First post time for an 11 race card is at 11:30 a.m. And the Grade 1 $9 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational will headline a tremendous card from Gulfstream Park in South Florida. Santa Anita's admission gates will open at 9:30, and Santa Anita will again guarantee $2 million in our 20-cent single-ticket Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot, which will be offered on races 6 through 11. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
City of Light and Accelerate set the stage for a great stretch battle. City of Light is outside. Accelerate is inside, and City of Light off the top of the turn is now a length in front. Accelerate will have to battle back. Four back to Untrapped and Sonneteer. City of Light to the final 16th, and he's clear now. He's a two-length leader over Accelerate in second, who is trying to come back at him. City of Light, Accelerate cuts it back to a length. City of Light, Accelerate a half. City of Light. The 72nd Oakland handicap goes to City of Light from Accelerate, a long way back to Untrapped and Sonneteer.
Fixed offer with the call of last year's Oakland handicap, and City of Light getting the best of Accelerate that afternoon. As we told you, Accelerate would come back and turn the tables in their next meeting, which was the Santa Anita Gold Cup. Today, in the Pegasus World Cup, they get that rubber match, and many people thinking City of Light may have the advantage coming into this afternoon's race. We're joined now by his trainer, Mike McCarthy. Mike, first of all, thanks for joining us from a very rainy Gulfstream Park here this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Little wetter than we would like.
Yeah, happy to have you on board.
Everybody's got to run over the same racetrack, so it is what it is.
We touched on this at the top of the show. We talked about his pedigree. His pedigree certainly says that he can handle a wet racetrack, but he's never raced on one in the afternoons. Have you seen him in the mornings on a wet racetrack at all?
Unfortunately, in California, we don't get the opportunity to really train on a wet racetrack. At Oaklawn Park, when he won the Oaklawn Park Handicap, he did train on a wet racetrack and ran on a wet fast racetrack. I don't know what the racetrack will be like tonight by the time the Pegasus runs. I'm hoping it's in fairly decent shape. There's a tractor actually driving by us right now, so they're doing their best that they can to have the track in tip-top shape. Obviously, being by Quality Road, not a bit De Hare. Merritt De Hare won a couple of stakes at Saratoga on an off-racetrack or on a wet racetrack. So the numbers say he's supposed to be able to handle it. You never know until they get on it.
Yeah, that's always a question mark. But he's got some things in his favor. First of all, his tactical speed, which is always important when you're running on and off track. He's got a nice draw. Lots of things to like about him. I know it has to give you some apprehension because trainers are always worried about something. So I guess that's your cross to bear for this race, but he certainly has a good chance.
Yeah, you know, I'm very pleased with the draw. Obviously, the other day when there were two spots left, it was either the far outside or the three hole. So I was real pleased when they called his name. And then number three pill, it gives us some options. Obviously, we know his horse has got brilliant speed, you know, very fast early when he needs to be. If we need to use that today, we can go ahead and do that. But first and foremost, hopefully we get just a nice position going into the first turn where we'd like to be, you know, up the backside. So it's not a huge field, but there's not a huge run into the first turn. So all these things are important.
Mike, the last time we saw City of Light, he was a dominant winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Let's go back to that day at Churchill Downs in November. When you think back on that afternoon when he crossed the finish line first, what kind of things come to mind?
A lot of relief. I'd always believed that he was that type of a horse. In the 10 days that we were at Churchill Downs, I don't know if a horse could have been doing any better than he was doing. His work on the Sunday before was outstanding. Very similar to the work we had seen here last Saturday. You know, I would like to think that the horse's form has carried over for the last 10 weeks. It's hard to imagine the horse could be better than he was on Breeders' Cup Day. Hopefully he's as good today, and that's good enough, you know.
You know, you're closing in on milestone win number 100 for your career. You've got 97 right now. City of Light, a big part of that, obviously. But you've had several great stakes winners. When you have to say goodbye to a horse like this, a horse making his final career start in the Pegasus this afternoon, what's it like when you show up at the barn the next day and you see that stall and he's not in it? What's that like?
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the unfortunate parts of our game. Horses come and go. And some reach their full potential. Some never do. You know, to have been lucky enough to have a horse like him, horse of a lifetime. Hopefully we have others that are as good as him. A little bittersweet leading him over there today, and I'm sure tomorrow won't be a fun day, but kind of sit back and realize that, you know, he's brought everybody around him a lot of satisfaction, a lot of good times. He's brought families together. He's certainly brought my family together. He's brought the Warrens together. Their family, you know, it's been a big family ordeal for them. And we've got 2-year-old Stale starting in about 3 weeks' time here. So hopefully we find another one just like him. Don't know if we can replace him, but hopefully we can find something like him.
Well, he's certainly been good to you, and he's just such a special horse because of his speed and his quickness. He's fun to watch. Every time you lead him over, he's fun to watch, and you can't ask more from a horse than that. I mean, he brings his A game whenever he runs.
Yeah, no, he's very genuine. Obviously, we're hoping he kind of does that today. He's a horse that's been blessed with some incredible athletic ability. If you take a look at him, he's, for the most part, nearly 17 hands high, weighs 1,250 pounds. So he's like a you know, he's like an equine LeBron James. He's a, physically, he's a masterpiece. So, and to see him hit all the gears is like you said, it's very fun.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, getting set to saddle City of Light in his final career start in this afternoon's Pegasus World Cup Invitational. Again, our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern Time on Sirius XM 93 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Mike, before we let you go, there are people tuning in and they're saying, okay, we know Bob Baffert, we know Todd Pletcher, we know Steve Asmussen. We're not quite as familiar with Mike McCarthy. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started and launched this career that is now really off and running.
I can't believe with almost 100 wins, they don't know who I am.
great answer.
Yeah. I'm only about 6,000 behind a couple of those guys. 5,000 wins behind a few of them, but we'll get there. You know, I've always been a fan of the game. Was lucky enough to go ahead and go to work for Todd Pletcher and spent 11 or almost 12 years there. Wonderful environment, meet some wonderful people, forged some wonderful relationships. And now we've kind of hung out our own shingle here. Not everybody can be a Todd Pletcher, as you said, a Steve Asmussen or a Bob Baffert, but we find our niche, and hopefully it suits us well.
Yeah, well, you're on the right track, my friend.
I look forward to talking to you guys when I win another 100, that's for sure.
Well, we'll make sure we have you on.
Mark, that
I hope I'm
show,
still alive.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. At the pace we're going, another 5 years. Yeah, you're right. Let's hope so. That's good.
Brutal.
Trainer Mike McCarthy, one of the best. And Mike, I know it's a very busy morning for you. I promised you I wouldn't keep you long. So go enjoy the rest of your morning and all the best this afternoon. We'll be cheering.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike McCarthy here on HRRN. Obviously, one of the best in Todd Pletcher, and somewhat of a Todd Pletcher-like answer there, right? I can't believe with nearly 100 wins, they don't know who I am. I could see Todd coming back with some type of answer like that.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor. I've known him since he was a teenager, and he's just one of the best guys you'd want to be around, so. It wasn't surprising he could have a little fun. I know he sounds like he's serious, but he's not serious all the time. You know, he does have a good sense of humor.
I'm sure he has a lot on his mind today. Plus, you can tell it's a little bittersweet. It hurt to lose that.
Penna was trying to get him to cry.
I know. That's why I didn't chime in. I felt like we were dragging him down.
That's always his whole card. Right?
He's definitely not as easy as Mark Cassie. I can get Mark to cry at the drop of a hat. I can't. What's Mark call me? Barbara Walters?
Yeah.
Because he always cries when he comes on the air with us.
Yeah, you find those sympathetic stories, and then the faucets come on.
Yeah, well, Mike McCarthy, hoping for a 98th career victory here this afternoon and hoping that City of Light can be the one to give it to him in the Pegasus World Cup. You know, one thing that he did mention was talking about the Warrens, the owners, who I had a chance to meet at the Eclipse Awards. They were there with Mike the other night, super nice people. And that's one thing about this game. He said it's kind of brought everybody together.
Absolutely.
This horse has brought everybody together. It's brought us together as a family. It's brought the Warrens together in the sport with all of our crew. That's one thing about this sport that I think often gets overlooked is the camaraderie aspect of it, especially when you have a good horse like
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. It's funny. We were actually talking about this last night. You know, they had the gala and the paddock party for the Eclipse and the Pegasus, and it was one of the things that, you know, A lot of people here from Kentucky, a lot of people here from New York and California, and, you know, it kind of reminds you, you know, why you put up with all the tough parts of the game. You know, it really is the people. It really kind of, you know, revives your spirit and gives you that to keep going, because it, you know, it's nice. And that was one of the things I liked hearing too. It's kind of neat when you hear a horse that draws people together.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty amazing, and you hear that story over and over again. You know, as you know, I'm on the board at Old Friends, and, you know, we kind of see them at the end of their careers when they're coming off the track, and that is a very, very common story. You hear, it's probably one of the most common stories when owners bring them, is they talk about what this horse meant to them and what this horse meant to their family, and, you know, they talk about them like a kid that's going off to college.
Yeah, no, it's special.
I bought a horse one time that broke up a lawsuit. I didn't know that the two owners, the one on each side, one guy was suing the other guy. And so I called and said, hey, I got this horse, pretty nice horse, and I'd like to buy him. Are you interested? And he goes, that guy's suing me. I'm not buying a horse off of him.
Yeah, no
so
shot.
I got the other guy to drop the lawsuit, and I got the horse.
Yeah. So, it should always be that easy, right?
One big happy family.
Yeah,
after
one
that.
Big happy family indeed. So are we here on the Equine Forum this morning. 1 hour in the books. Hour two set to come your way momentarily. We'll kick it off with Kate Hunter, who is the representative for the Japan Racing Association and the interpreter for trainer. Ready for this one? Takanori Kikuzawa. How about that?
Well, we'll ask.
We'll ask Kate her if I got it right in a minute. We're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monomoy Girl at 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monomoy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, rolling on. Busy morning here in South Florida as we come to you live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Atypical conditions here this morning. Not used to what we're seeing, what we typically see in South Florida. Rain is falling currently. It has fallen throughout much of the past several hours. It is expected to do so off and on throughout the afternoon as we get closer to post time for the Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup Turf. Temperatures supposed to get into the upper 60s today, so not going to be the warmest South Florida day that we've ever seen. The main track has been sealed. It is sloppy. That's the way the day will begin, and we'll see if they can open it up. If the rain does kind of come to pass at some point, maybe they can open it up and get it a little drier by post time. But it looks like we're going to be looking at an off track for the World Cup and a softer turf for the Pegasus World Cup turf. Races 1, 3, and 5 are off the turf here this afternoon. So if you're just tuning in, races 1, 3, and 5 off the turf. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, special guest co-host Mark Otto, and we are joined now by Kate Hunter, who is the Pegasus World Cup representative for the Japan Racing Association. She is also the interpreter for trainer Takanori Kikuzawa, and she told me I did get that name correct,
yes,
right?
Yes, you did.
Beautiful.
Very good.
I did not get the name of the Japanese filly correct, though. I've been going with Aerolith, and that's not right.
Don't worry. I was doing that for years. No, it's Aerolith.
Aerolit.
Yes.
Okay, Aerolit. And she's taking on the boys today, Pegasus World Cup Turf.
Let's
talk a little bit about her. Tell our fans what this filly's all about.
Well, she's always been a very promising filly. And from the get-go, she has always impressed her trainer. She was a Group 1 winner at 3, beating the boys in the NHK Mile, and then went on to run not as impressively later on. She did win the Group 3 Queen Stakes at Sapporo, which, interestingly enough, the trainer walked the track this morning and said that the track at this point in time feels a lot like the track in Sapporo, so he was very happy with that, because she won that quite impressively. The worst track she's ever raced on was the Shuka Show, which is a Group 1, 2,000 meters. She finished 7th, but it was going clockwise, and she's not as good in that direction.
Interesting. So she'll come here, she'll run the opposite direction she's used to running.
Oh, no. In Japan, they run both ways.
Oh, they do? Oh, okay.
So Tokyo races just like America, and Kyoto and Hanshin run in the opposite direction. So she prefers to run American style, which is one of the reasons they brought her over here.
When did she arrive here at Gulfstream Park?
She arrived about 2:30 a.m. at Miami Airport on the 16th.
Okay. So she's been here for a little while.
She's been here for a little while.
Got a chance to get acclimated. Has she adjusted well?
Very well. This was the first time she ever traveled. So even within Japan, when they would ship her from like east side to west side, she'd be a little nervous. And so they were kind of concerned about how she would travel. But she kind of traveled internationally like she'd been doing it all her life. She came here in perfect condition, settled right in. I think Florida suits her.
And it wasn't like she caught a direct flight from Japan to here, right?
No, the whole thing, I think door-to-door was about 23 hours or so.
Oh, my God. I'd never make it. I get punchy flying from Lexington to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'd never make it.
Yeah. No, my trip's only about like 16 hours, and I go crazy. So I don't know how she managed it. But no, she immediately settled in, was immediately relaxed. She's been relaxed the entire time she's been here. And we've had absolutely no issues, knock on wood.
She had kind of a wild flight schedule, too. Did she go to Alaska?
Well, all cargo planes have to refuel in Alaska.
Is that how it goes?
So that would have been normal regardless. But we went because the Japanese cargo company has been grounded for the past 8 months. They just resumed operation. We had to do Korean Air. We flew from Tokyo to Korea. From Korea, we changed planes, put her on a Miami-bound plane. They refueled in Anchorage, and then she came straight to Miami.
That's a direct route.
Yeah. It's not bad. It could be worse.
I think it worked out better than otherwise she would have gone Tokyo, Anchorage, Chicago, Miami. So I think it actually was a better flight.
Yeah, we've had to fly through Detroit. We that's terrible.
Yeah. How about you, Kate? How did you get involved with the Japan Racing Association?
Well, technically, I have my own company in Japan, and I work with the Breeders' Cup, Keeneland, the American Triple Crown, Churchill, Naira, and the Pegasus, recruiting Japanese racehorses to come participate in American races, and especially for Keeneland, getting Japanese people to come buy American horses, like the horse that beat Arlet in the Yasuda Kinin, Mozo Ascot, was a Keeneland graduate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So has it been... has it been difficult to recruit those horses? Has it been challenging, or what are some of the challenges, I guess, that face you?
Last year was definitely hard without any airplanes to take the horses to America.
That doesn't help.
That proved a challenge because Arlet was planning on going to the Breeders' Cup Mile first, and so having that fall through was a true heartbreak. Well, the hardest part is like when it comes to dirt, they don't think that they have the same speed because the dirt in Japan is basically pure sand. It's very deep sand, so it's a lot slower racing, and so they're like, okay, well, we're not going to be able to compete successfully and on the dirt, and then the turf horses. They've got the idea that Europe is a bit more has a bit more I'm going to go Japanese sticky. It's a bit more has a better feeling to it. They're going to if they win a race in Europe, it has more meaning than coming over to America and winning a Group One on turf here. So I'm working on changing their mind and saying that because a lot of the tracks here, except for maybe today, it's usually sunny in like California and Florida, and then you get nice firm turf, which they typically have in Japan as well. So that's my sales pitch to the Japanese, and I've been working on that. I'm building up some steam, and hopefully we'll have a nice little horse or two coming over for the Breeders' Cup this year.
How would you sum up the Japanese racing program and their product over there?
Very carefully and orchestrated. The JRA has an impeccable sense of scheduling and making sure that the fans. Know that the racing has full integrity, that they can, come and enjoy with their families. They usually have playgrounds and stuff, and they only race on the weekends. They have a very carefully selected Group 1 graded system spread out throughout the year to maximize the flow of betting, and so they're just a well-orchestrated machine.
What led you to this position? How'd you get started?
Well, I got into Japanese, unfortunately, through Sailor Moon Japanese cartoons when I was in junior high school, which is the most embarrassing thing ever.
No, John Velasquez, the Hall of Fame jockey, learned to speak English when he came to the United States by watching The Little Mermaid. So there you go.
Okay,
so
now I feel better.
Yeah, don't feel bad.
But then I got into racing thanks to Silver Charm's amazing performance in the Triple Crown, and he got sold to Japan as a stallion, and that's when I found out about Japanese racing, and so I started going over there. So when I was over there. I got to see all that stuff, and that's how I got into Japanese horse racing, Silver Term.
That's cool. When you're trying to recruit these people and talk to them, what's their biggest fear about racing in the United States as opposed to Europe?
Well, typically it's twofold. One is the distance. It's really, really far, and the shipping is really expensive. So shipping from Japan versus shipping from like a European horse coming to America versus a Japanese horse, you're looking at 2 to 3 times the cost. So the risk, the cost, and the reward are pretty out of balance. The prize money here is a lot lower than it is in Japan. So if they're going to spend that much money to go over and not make as much money, it doesn't make as much financial sense to them to risk the horse in that situation. The other would be another complaint I hear, which will make American trainers very angry, is they don't like race day medications. They don't want to use it, and unlike the Europeans, who typically kind of go along with the program, the Japanese absolutely do not want to use it, which is one interesting fact about the Pegasus, because you get the 7-pound allowance for not using Lasix. That really piqued their interest.
Talking with Kate Hunter, who is the Pegasus World Cup representative for the Japan Racing Association here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You mentioned the purse structure in Japan. Is that good?
It's very good. If you look at it, Hong Kong might be a little bit better, but due to the limited number of race days, I think Japan was right. You've got, $3 million to the winner in the Japan Cup, Japanese Derby, Arima Kinen. So there's lots of races where you get a lot of money. A maiden special weight in Japan, the winner gets $70,000.
Oh, wow. So, now we have races here now the winner gets $70,000, not the purse is $70,000.
The winner gets $70,000,
right?
And that's okay. A maiden special weight.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, they are phenomenal races.
That's pretty good. So as part of your job, going the other way too, recruiting American horses to go to Japan?
No, that's the Japan Racing Association's sole job. They have an office in New York, and so they travel around all year round trying to get American horses over for the Japan Cup and races like that, and vice versa. They've got offices in, I don't know if it's London or Paris, in Europe. They've got an office in Australia where they try and recruit horses.
And you've been very hands-on this whole time that you guys have been here. You've been escorting the trainer around and helping with interviews, being the interpreter. It's a lot of work for you.
I've mucked out stalls. the way I see it is, the idea of just recruiting a horse and getting a paycheck didn't really appeal to me. So the way I feel, I want to make sure that when the Japanese come over here, they're taken care of to the standard of which they expect to be. And so I want to be as hands-on as possible to make it as easy for them to come over here and get their horse ready for the race.
Yeah, that's just good advertising, because they go back and tell their friends, hey, we had a great time, and it was fantastic.
I book reservations. I'm their personal Uber. anything they want, if they want to go to the mall, I take them to the mall. So, I'm at their full service 24 hours a day.
And I imagine you're kind of a one-stop shop anyway. I mean, you probably don't have a lot of competition for this job because of your experience. And the way that you treat your guests.
You speak Japanese.
Well, at the moment, no.
That's probably the easy part, speaking Japanese.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really fantastic.
There's no other Americans in Japan working in horse racing. So kind of being, I have a corner on a very niche market.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy about that, but I'm sure there's going to be someone nipping at my heels soon.
Especially after they hear this interview. They're going to say, geez, this sounds pretty cool.
Study Japanese in college, kids.
How long did it take you to learn the language?
I started learning it a little bit on my own. The very first sentence I learned was, "Toire wa doku desu ka?" Where's the toilet? Where's the bathroom? And I still use that to this day. It's a very, very useful sentence. But I started doing that in junior high school.
Sounds like me after a few drinks.
Oh, it's
very, does seem like the logical first sentence.
And you're speaking English.
Very important. But it's the one sentence that probably everybody uses no matter wherever they go. But that was the first sentence I learned, and that was in junior high school. And then I started taking classes in the summer when I was in high school because I really liked it. I was taking French in high school, but I started speaking French with a Japanese accent. And my French teacher was like, "I don't understand why you sound this way. Like, most Americans have a terrible accent, but you're, so much worse." I got a D-minus in that class. So, but it was okay because I wanted to learn Japanese, and I majored in it in college.
You've done well for yourself. You created a great little niche, as you said, and great job getting Arrow lit here. What are the plans moving forward if she runs well?
If she runs well, she's going to go back to Japan, and they're going to target the Victoria Mile, which is in a Group 1 mile race for fillies and mares at Tokyo, which is the American direction. And she was fourth in it last year. Very, very narrow. She was so about 3/4 of a length behind the winner. So they'll go back to that race and try and win that. And then because the next mile race is going in the the clockwise direction, they're considering the Breeders' Cup Mile.
How about if Yoshida wins today? Japanese bred?
Well, that would be a bit bittersweet. though I'm sure they're very happy. It's raining right now. It'd be great for taking, because I also help foreigners when they come to Japan to buy horses. So it would help. I guess help me there.
Can't lose.
But yeah, a 1-2 would be nice. But I'd like my filly on top, and she's racing super light. So I think that's going to give her an advantage, and she's got the winner. But I'm going to pronounce his name wrong because, again, I failed French. Florent Giroux?
Yes, Florent.
Florent. Yes. I'm sorry, Florent. I'm going to see him later.
You can call him Flo.
Flo? Okay. That's a lot easier. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Good job.
He's on board, and he won the Pegasus last year, so he'll be kind of familiar with this area. And, well, that's one reason we chose him. And so he'll hopefully he won't have lost too much muscle from having to lose so much weight.
Yeah, I heard he's been really serious about losing the weight.
Well, I mean, if he does well, you know, maybe we can bring him over to Japan, and then he can really start making money.
Yeah.
He'll be making Pegasus money every weekend.
That's good.
Yeah, 112, right? Yep. He's got to do 112 to ride Arrow this afternoon. Yeah.
So he's probably in a sweat box right now.
Yeah.
But
should have spent the week with Acacia.
She's trimmed down. Yeah, yeah, wow, she is trimmed down. Our Miss Connecticut USA.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But the trainer feels confident that the filly always runs a quality race, and it's the right direction. The filly, she's in top form. She'll run a good race, and hopefully we'll be crossing the finish line first.
There you go. Kate Hunter, ladies and gentlemen, and she's doing a tremendous job. And, Kate, because you are doing such a good job, this segment is our Industry Star of the Week segment. We made you our Industry Star of the Week. It's all presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who's a phenomenal consigner at all the sales across the country. So, well done. Keep up the good work, and good luck this afternoon. Safe travels back home.
Gambarimasu.
What's that mean?
I'll try my best.
Thank you very much. All right, Kate Hunter here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And as we told you, that is presented by our friend Stuart Morris. Let's do this. Let's get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back. Our Blood Horse News update is on the other side of this after our Stallion Spotlight, which is presented by Red Brand Fence. That comes up right after this quick commercial break here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback. Trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday, with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th, a program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it. Down to the wire. Orb has won the Kentucky Derby.
Distance, no problem for Mastery. He glides home a five-length winner in the Futurity.
And here comes Eronicus and Javier Castellano, and they take the lead in deep stretch, and Eronicus is pulling away with strong strides to the wire.
Data Link from the outside for Alex Solis to spring the upset at 12-1 in the Maker's 46-mile.
Back here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, as is this segment, your Stallion Spotlight. The Claiborne Stallion's the focus today. If you couldn't tell by that little stallion montage, you can you can blame it on Blame, knocking off Zenyatta in that memorable 2010 running of the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs. It was a special night. We were there, and it was a special performance by a very special horse, and he is one of the stallions standing at Claiborne, and it is a tremendous stallion roster. And to help us learn more about those stallions is our good friend Bernie Sams from Claiborne. Bernie, I know you're here in South Florida. Didn't make it out to the track this morning because of the rainy conditions, the canceled training, but happy to have you on board by phone, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I guess it's still raining over there.
Yes, sir. It's yeah. Still raining.
Just kind of a steady rain.
I guess it's all day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like it.
Yeah. That's what they're saying.
Wear your boots. Don't get too fancy.
I've got them laid out. Change my whole attire. What do you guys
might want a hat.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, things are good. Trying to stay dry and stay warm here at our broadcast location, but everything's good, and I know things are going well with the Claiborne Stallions. Where do you want to start? Who do you want to talk about first?
You want to talk about Blame since you started with him?
Yeah, I love Blame. Yeah, let's talk about him.
Oh, listen, he's doing remarkable. I mean, he had a breakout year last year with Marley's Freedom and a number of others. Last year we cut his fee in half, hoping that something would happen, and it did. And we went from 12.5 back to 30, and he's got a tremendous book of mares ready for him starting February the 11th. So, no, you know, it was what we had always thought. I think sometimes with the Claiborne Stallions, because we don't read as big of books that you don't have as much name recognition on a daily basis for the stallions across the board until they get multiple crops out there. And I think that was kind of what he needed. I mean, he'd been doing well, but not, I guess, in the eyes of the public that didn't want to breed to him. But he is now, and everything's good with Blaine.
Well, he's been such a versatile sire. His horses run on any surface. I mean, he had all the earmarks going in of a horse that was going to be a success at stud. He was a tremendous athlete and quite a racehorse. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, in today's day and age, people want that instant gratification all the time because you can pull up any information you want on your phone and everything's at your fingertips and it happens so quick. But the horse business will make you wait sometimes. And you guys have always done a great job in developing your studs and giving them a square chance. And he's just a horse that I think deserves a lot of respect for what he did. And now he's beginning to show what a good sire he is.
No, I think that's exactly right. And the Hancock family's always been very patient with their horses and gives them all a opportunity to succeed. And he's living proof. You know, some people might have pulled the trigger and sold him. And you know, they were patient with him and hung in there. And I know Hancock and I were up in Ocala the beginning of the week, and we've got quite a few Blaines up there that have done very well and doing tremendous at our two-year-olds, so hopefully this year will be as good as last.
You know, Bernie, there's another stallion there that I'm partial to. I really enjoyed watching him perform. We broadcast so many of his big wins, including the Kentucky Derby, and that's Orb, and you have to be thrilled with the way that he's kind of kicked off his stallion career.
I think so. I mean, I know we cut his fee this year, and I think, you know, again, it's a similar situation, probably as Blame, where he's had some very nice maiden winners here of late, and now they need to translate into stakes wins. And, you know, hopefully they can do that, and you know, we can be in the same spot next year we are with Blame this year. So, you know, he's gotten very good mares. He's gotten good books of mares. I think people are hard on some of these horses sometimes when the yearlings and weanlings and whatnot sell very well, and then they don't come out and immediately perform.
Hey, Bernie, Mark Otto. You know, we've been longtime partners with you guys with Red Brand. We really appreciate everything the family does. But, you know, the one that always comes to mind for me is Warfront. He was kind of a, you know, started out slow, if I remember right.
Well, that's and right. I mean, you know,
he's just turned into a phenomenal horse.
Started out at 12.5 and then 12.5, and we bred 110 mares, and he bred 100 mares, and then the third year we dropped him to 10, and he bred like 68 or 9 mares, you know, and people will get off of him quick, and then you know, the two-year-old sold well, and he picked it up, and he was 10 the next year, and he bred 100 and, I don't know, 5 or 10 mares his fourth year, and then the two-year-old started running, and he kind of took off and exploded from there. But, I mean, you know, he kind of went from 10 to 15, and then bounce from there as they really took off. But
he's a good example. Yeah, he's an exceptional stallion, and you guys have done a phenomenal job. And he's another example of the family's patience.
Compliments there should go to the shareholders and the people that have been breeding to him, Joe Allen, for being patient and giving us the opportunity to manage him as we have, and Team Coolmore for their support and the numbers that they've taken back to Ireland and, you know, made him help make him an international sire. It's, you know, nice that he had War of Will win the other day down in Louisiana and, you know, put another dirt horse back in front of everybody. And hopefully that horse will go on and do great things this spring.
You know, speaking of dirt horses, we talked about a pretty good one out there at Claiborne. We talked about him in depth throughout the second half of our season here on the network, and that was Run Happy. A horse that was so brilliant on the racetrack, Bernie, and just kind of getting things started now. Tell us a little bit about Run Happy and the way he's been received.
Oh, well, compliments of Mr. McInvale and quite a bit of advertising and marketing, to say the least. But the horse is produced, and the offspring that we've seen have been very good. You know, we've talked about it amongst ourselves. You know, I really haven't seen a bad one yet. I mean, the weanlings, they ended up averaging 155,000 last year, and he was third behind Nyquist and Frosted. And the cheapest priced one that sold was 70,000. So if that's the bad one, I'm pleased. and the short yearlings in January averaged 210, and they were very nice. And I think everybody's extremely pleased with what they've gotten. So hopefully they'll run. You know, they look like they'll run, and they look like hopefully they'll be early enough anyway. But, you know, I think everybody's extremely pleased. And, again, he'll breed 125, 130 mares, similar to last year. I think he was 128 or something. He's been very, very, very popular.
Well, if you can get Mr. McInvale to be as patient as your other clients, he could really be something. And, you know, I think the fact that you guys do give him a long rope, the stallions that you stand, it really helps, and it makes you money in the long run, because a lot of people get impatient, and then they sell those horses to other locales, and that's when their progeny start taking off and winning all the stakes when they've moved to Korea or someplace else. It's really disconcerting sometimes.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, there's a lot of times horses get sold quick because they don't look like they're going to get it done, and, you know, they leave and you can't get them back, and then they just come running. And I, you know what, I tell you, Mr. McInvale and his family, Laura Wallers, they have been absolutely tremendous to work with. It could not have been more of a pleasure. It's been a real treat, actually.
Talking to Bernie Sams, this is your Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence, focusing on the Claiborne Stallions this morning. And Bernie, you've talked a couple of times about your clients and the people that are involved with the Claiborne family, and that's the way I've always described it. It's a family there. Talk about those relationships that you've been able to develop with your breeders and with your clients and with the folks that buy your horses over the years. It's been just a remarkable and something we don't see in this sport each and every day.
No, the Hancock family's built up the relationships that are at Claiborne Farm today over decades. And it's not something that's happened overnight, and they've been very fortunate to have loyal clients that have given them the opportunity to breed and raise some tremendous racehorses. And no, it doesn't happen necessarily in today's world. And again, Claiborne's very fortunate, and the Hancock family's done a tremendous job for their clients. You know,
yeah, they certainly
it's just a remarkable place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. A couple more stallions. We have a few more minutes here. We can touch on a couple more, Bernie. How about where you want to go next? Flatter, maybe?
Flatter's always a superstar. You know, I think he was one of the leading sires at two-year-old stakes winners last year. You know, he's getting a little age on him. We'll probably cut him back to about 75 mares and pick and choose. But if you had a barn full of flatters, you'd be thrilled to death. You know, he's done it the hard way.
He started out at 5,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he came with, you know, I want to tell you, it was like 18 or 19 two-year-old winners that first year. And, I mean, off he went. But, you know, he's always been kind of a tough sale horse. He's gotten some more respect here of late, even early on. So it wasn't a horse like we went from 5 to 10 to 30. I mean, he's had to work his way up. He's truly a working man's horse. No doubt.
Well, I think it's because he's not, you know, he's not the flashiest looking horse, but you know, he's got the blood and he's got the talent, and he really throws you a nice racehorse. So that's a fantastic.
I think that's right. He's a big brown horse, and he throws big brown horses that absolutely run. You know, you take a horse like West Coast, you know.
Sometimes it's just that easy, huh?
Yeah. We wish. You know, the other horse.
We wish.
You know, it's doing well. When we were up in Ocala, had heard some good things. Or Lee, you know, he had the one yearling brought 650. That Robbie Harris bought, and that horse has done very well, and we've got several up there. And when we were there, there were quite a few, you know. So hopefully he can be our next shining star. So far, so good. They all seem to have good minds and have done everything easily. So hopefully they'll translate that over to the racetrack.
Yeah, it's a tremendous stallion roster and a tremendous group of people to work with. They've been doing it at a very high level for a very long time. It's Claiborne Farm. You can go to claibornefarm.com. bernieandbernie.com to learn more about everything that they do, but certainly you can read more about each and every stallion. And Bernie Sams will be the guy that you can talk with over there. Walker Hancock, they just do a tremendous job. Bernie, really appreciate the visit as always. Thank you for filling us in on all the stallions, and looking forward to seeing you out here this afternoon. And can't wait to see what you go with for a little attire here today.
Thanks a lot. See you
Can
guys.
You bring
Thanks
me a garbage
having...
bag? Can you bring me a garbage bag, Bern? This guy makes me. I'm a slave. I'm his slave, you know. So. Yeah, clear's fine. Whatever. Whatever you can do.
I'll grab one on the way out of the hotel.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Bernie Sams. And, Mark, you mentioned that relationship with Red Brand and Claiborne. I know you've told me that story before, but it goes back generations. And
it really does.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
really, he's
really
it was
cool.
Bull Hancock that was responsible for starting the V-Mesh. And you know, another point you almost have to bring up, it really in relationship to the Stallions, Bull Hancock is really responsible for a lot of the bloodlines that we have here because of some of the horses that he brought in from England.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, and people don't, you know, I think people forget sometimes how much of an effect his choices had. And really, when you go back and look on it, I mean, it was amazing that he had the foresight to do that. That was not something people were doing.
Yeah, it was what, Claiborne, Darby Dan, right? Was
right.
Also instrumental in bringing in European,
yeah,
type, foreign,
absolutely,
type bloodlines.
And
yeah.
Another guy that was in, that were really partnered with Bull a lot was Jack Lally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lost Jack a few years ago. But Jack, Summer Place Farm, Jack and Bull were really good friends. They did a lot together. They were actually the ones that worked together to start V-Mesh.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you know,
Claiborne is really that's where it started for us.
Yeah, they're kind of a flagship.
It really, well, I mean, we have a lot of flagships today, but that one's always, you know, that's where it began.
You know, speaking about beginnings, I had the chance, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now, and you invited myself and my wife to Peoria, Illinois, of all places, which
exactly.
is the home of Red Brand Fence.
Nobody goes to Peoria. You wind up in Peoria.
You do. You know, Michael Blowen was there, too. Michael Blowen, yeah, from Old Friends was there, and he got there, and he looked at us, and he said, you know, we're only about 50 miles from Iowa.
Yeah, and who would have thought that would be inviting?
But we came there because it was a very special day for Red Brand and for the company as a whole. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Red Brand recently, you know, so Red Brand's parent company is KCI, which technically is who I work for. We're based out of Dallas, and we were recently acquired by Liberty Group out of England. So Liberty Group is a large group that owns over 100 steel companies worldwide. It's owned by a gentleman by the name of Sanjeev Gunter. He's an Indian gentleman, really, really sharp guy, really, really nice man. And, you know, it's going to be even better than it has been. This is going to take us worldwide. We're going to expand the product line. We're going to expand manufacturing. And it's really going to allow Red Brand to grow globally at a much faster pace. So it's really going to be a good thing. The beauty of this company is that they're really, really ahead of the game. I mean, they are involved in metals all the way from mining to downstream products.
Yeah.
So it's really quite amazing. And if you look, you know, they're really strong in racing. So not just horse racing, but auto racing. They do a lot with Porsche, F1. You know, they're really diverse, and they understand racing. They, you know, growing up in the UK, a lot of these people were race fans, you know, horse racing fans.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and it was really interesting to talk with these guys and get to know these guys, because it's interesting to me to get more of a global perspective on our sport.
Well, and I was really intrigued to learn that Red Brand, not just big in horse racing, but big with the NASCAR auto racing world, too. And I got a chance to meet Ray Everham, who was there, too.
We're quite diversified.
Crew chief for Jeff Gordon.
You know, we've got ambassadors in several sports. Auto racing is very important.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, it's, you know, Red Brand is our biggest brand, but KCI actually, we're one of the largest steel producers in the U.S., and Red Brand is the largest agriculture friends brand in the world, and it represents 12% of the steel that we make. So the rest of that steel goes into anything from John Deere tractors to automotive to aftermarket parts to industrial pieces, even bridges. You know, some of the wires and things that go into the bridges that are here in Florida came from our companies. So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, NASCAR, we're definitely connected to them. And believe it or not, we're kind of connected to NASCAR on a couple of fronts. One, Liberty actually makes the brake system for some of the NASCARs that are being used on the track today.
Oh, wow.
And then we're involved in a lot of the owners' farms. So a lot of people don't realize, but a lot of the owners and drivers own farms themselves. And that was really how we got started. And Ray Everham, who's best known for being Jeff Gordon's crew chief.
Yep.
They were very successful. Ray was a driver himself. And since then, he's gone on to get into vintage auto racing. And he races Pikes Peak, Goodwood. And he's got a car that he's campaigning right now called the Ghost, which is a older Chevy with just a monster engine. And he's having a lot of fun with that. But, you know, Ray himself, it was interesting. He owns a company called JRI Suspension. And they make products for Porsche and a lot of products that, you know, are similar. He makes components that go on the same cars that we make components for. So it was a really
That's
good
a great
connection.
Tie-in. Yeah,
great
tie-in.
And it's kind of fun because we're actually getting ready to launch a rebate for the racing industry, and it's going to be called Ray's Hard Card Rebate, because if you have anybody that knows auto racing, the license is called the hard card.
Yeah.
So if you're a hard card owner, you know, you're going to realize some savings on Red Brand. And for a lot of guys, I mean, the names are endless. You know, Mr. Hendrick has a large farm. You know, Ryan Newman and his wife have an animal rescue. So there's a lot of people throughout the industry that are very involved, and we're excited to have Ray on board.
Yeah, and in horse racing, of course, Red Brand Fence is the name you need to know. They've been a wonderful supporter of ours for the past couple of seasons, and looking forward to bigger and better things up the road. But, Mark, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, we're really
for
excited. Our two big kingpins are Bob Baffert and Ray Everham, and two different kinds of horsepower, but definitely kings.
Both of them
are the kings to us.
Both big names. All right, we're going to get to one final break. We will come back. You're going to hear from Bill Mott. You're going to hear from Todd Pletcher in the next segment, and we'll get you caught up on your Blood Horse News update. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
The FTBOA has $100,000 up for grabs for Florida Breds in four stakes races on Pegasus Day. Four stakes with $25,000 bonuses for top Florida Breds. The great Grade 3 Fred Hooper and Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie, along with the Ladies Turf Sprint and Gulfstream Park Turf Sprint. And on Florida Derby Day, March 30th, the Florida Sire Stakes eligible horse that wins the Florida Derby will also earn a $100,000 bonus and a $25,000 bonus in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Breed and race in Florida for more money. Visit FTBOA.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include four-time graded stakes winner Miss Sky Warrior, three-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, multiple stakes winner Bell Harbor, and Dubai Group 3 winner Shamal Nibras. Last year, his two-year-old sold up to $540,000, while his yearlings fetched up to a whopping $575,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. You know, two-year-old sale season is just around the corner, so why not consider last year's top juvenile sire, Medaglia d'Oro, in your breeding plans?
100 yards to go! Plum Pretty needs the line! Here comes the line! Plum Pretty wins the Oaks!
Kentucky Oaks winner Plum Pretty is just one example of Medaglia d'Oro's top-class progeny sold as a two-year-old, and that makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch, having produced 21 career group or grade one winners worldwide, including Estern, who will stand his second season at Darley this year. In 2018, Medaglia d'Oro Offspring averaged well over $500,000 at the two-year-old sales and included $3 million-plus sales toppers. No stallion has ever had more in a single year. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The jackpot winner, Gunnavera's, in full stride for Javier Castellano as they race to the top of the stretch in the Fountain of Youth. And there goes Practical Joke to confront Three Rules on the top end. But Gunnavera looms large off the speed as they turn for home with a short stretch to work with. With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Gunnavera over the top is on to the front now. Three Rules battles on gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Gunnavera and Javier Castellano moving clear. Gunnavera for local trainer Antonio Sano. Romps in the Fountain of Youth. Practical Joke second. Three Rules third. Fourth, Talk Logistics in 1:44 and 1.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Mark Otto, overlooking a rainy walking ring here at Gulfstream. The forecast not good for the rest of the day either. We've been telling you throughout the morning that the rain has rolled in overnight and expected to continue here throughout the day. The main track is sloppy and sealed, and the turf course, we haven't gotten an official reading on it yet, but no doubt it will have a little give to it later today. That was Gunnavera winning the 2017 Fountain of Youth. Pete Aiello with the call of that race, and Gunnavera, one of the contenders in this afternoon's Breeders' Cup, Pegasus World Cup. Not Breeders' Cup time yet. The Pegasus World Cup, he is a major player, and he is a Gulfstream lover, so we'll see if he can pull off a bit of a shocker later today. You're going to hear from trainer Todd Pletcher. You're going to hear from Bill Mott coming up momentarily, but we want to remind you that you can download the special Blood Horse Best of 2018 tablet only issue, and you can do that with top features and stories and photographs of the year. The special issue is available to anyone with a tablet free of charge. Just download the Blood Horse Magazine app, and then the Best of 2018 tablet issue, compliments of Blood Horse. Well, as I told you, Gunnavera, guys, one of the horses that's going to be coming from off the pace, and he's a horse that is ultra-talented. We talked about him earlier in the program. We'll see if he can pull it off. He's going to have to do it over a wet, sealed racetrack, at least sealed at this point. We're a long way away from race time, but we'll see, JT.
Not really. a long ways away from race time.
No, not really a long ways.
Well, not the first race, but the World Cup, indeed.
Well, yes, we are a long ways away from the World Cup, but... Yeah, they're probably not going to open this track. I would be shocked if they open it because the rain's steady and it keeps coming down. And
I think it's getting a little heavier, actually.
Yeah.
At times.
Yep.
We were talking a little bit, though, Baron, and you kind of, another case for mine and Jude's horse is Frankie Dettori.
Is it Kukulkan? We're back on that horse again? I thought we were done talking about that horse. We've dedicated more time to the horse that has no chance in that race than any other horse.
He's pushing us to the windows, folks. Place your bets.
I'm done pushed.
Well, all right. One more reminder about our coverage. 4 to 6 Eastern this afternoon, presented by Red Brand Fence and FTBOA. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net, which means you can Bluetooth us in your car if you're driving around and you don't have Sirius XM. Just Bluetooth us, horseracingradio.net, and stream the coverage live wherever you may be. That coverage includes the Pegasus World Cup and the race preceding it, which is the Pegasus World Cup Turf. And, trainer Bill Mott is going to saddle the morning line favorite Yoshida in that race. And earlier, Bill had a chance to catch up with Jude and with Anthony on our ExpressBet radio program. He talked about Yoshida, and he started talking about the decision to run him in the turf race as opposed to the dirt. He could have gone either direction. He said, well, we're going to go in the turf, and here's why.
Entered into that. Number one, we looked at the races, and we looked at the competition, and I guess we had quite a bit of respect for Accelerate, who's in the who's in the dirt race. And City of Light looked very good, and it looked as though probably we'd be, you know, could be third or fourth choice in the dirt race, and it looked as though he may be, you know, one of the favorites in the turf. So, I mean, we took that into account, and of course, the other thing is the same ownership already has a horse in the dirt race. And so they want to take a swing at both. One being the turf with Yoshida, and of course Audible is the same ownership, you know, so he's going to have a crack at the dirt race. So it was, you know, there were a couple things involved, and, you know, I'm in agreement with it. I think it's fine. I think he's, you know, we'll go with the turf.
Well, there you go, and it makes sense. I mean, you have Audible, who is the same ownership group as Yoshida, and they've decided to run Audible, obviously, in the Pegasus World Cup, JT. But, you know, then you have this other horse who's a Grade 1 winner on both dirt and turf, and he says, okay, well, that's one of the reasons we're going to stick to the turf.
Well, it looks like a genius move now because he likes giving the ground. So I think the weather promotes his chances. We heard Kate mention that as well. So a situation where things are kind of coming up roses for him.
You asked Bill in that interview about the pace scenario and how this horse seems to show a little more tactical speed on the turf as opposed to the dirt, and here's what Bill had to say about that.
You know, at Gulfstream, you have to be a little more tactical on the turf. I think it's a little bit of a speed-favoring course, and, you know, there's not much room for error there. It seems like, you know, of course, the dirt track, you know, the main track seems to be, you know, a bit more speed favoring than what a Churchill Downs or a Belmont Park would be. I think there's two fillies in the race that are probably going to show speed, the Japanese filly and then the filly from California, and I don't have the names right in front of me right now, but you know, I think there could be a legitimate pace in there, and I would say our horse could be a, you know, laying mid pack. I mean, I would, you know, if you're at Gulfstream, I think I wouldn't want to see him lagging out the back of the field by any means. So, you know, you'd like him up in a stalking position, I would think.
What does that do for Channel Maker? You guys turned his tactics around, his career around. You going to try and get him behind those two fillies on the lead? By the way, they're you got Magic Wand from Coolmore, you got Aerolith from Japan, and the filly Fahan Muro come in from California. She'll be the speed. You going to try and get him behind the fillies?
Yeah, I think those kind of horses will just automatically outrun him. You know, I mean, going into the first turn, I think they have a probably more early speed than what we've got. Of course, when, you know, we were gate to wire in the Joe Hirsch, I mean, it was a 12 furlong race with maybe a lack of any kind of substantial speed, and that put him on the engine, and he handled the situation very well. He was very good that day. I don't think he's, you know, when you cut him back in distances, when you go back from 12 furlongs to, you know, 9.5, I think you're looking at a whole different pace scenario, and generally speaking, probably a different group of horses. So he's not, you know, I doubt he's going to be up on the pace with a couple of those speedsters.
He's nice with a little give in the ground too. It doesn't seem to bother him. So
yeah, well, both our horses are okay with some give in the ground, and I used to think that Channel Maker probably didn't want it soft, but when he ran, you know, in a couple of his better races this fall, there was a lot of give in the ground. Of course, we went to the Breeders' Cup, and it was a real bog on that day. I don't think he cared for it much. He didn't care for that much in the pace scenario on that particular day because we tried to force him up into the pace, and I don't think he liked it. I think with most horses, you've got to let them settle into a rhythm where they're comfortable with. If you try to take them out of their game and you know, if you want to decide the pace for them, sometimes it doesn't work. They've got to be comfortable with.
That's Bill Mott talking about Yoshida and Channelmaker in today's Pegasus World Cup turf. And in the interest of time here, guys, we're going to get right to our Todd Pletcher clip because I promised people they would hear from Todd. Todd talked about Audible this week with Jude and with Anthony on Express Bet Radio, and here's what he had to say about his World Cup contender.
You know, I mean, it's not ideal by any means, especially when the two horses to beat drew favorable posts in the three and the five. But, you know, I think the real key to the race for him is that he enjoys a hot pace to run into, and he does have tactical speed, but he's, you know, I think his best performances have been, you know, in races like the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby where they're a contested pace and he can close into those. So, you know, maybe with pattern recognition drawing way outside in the 12, he's going to have to come away and show some speed. And if, you know, maybe him and City of Light and Accelerate get up and mix it up a little bit, that'll help his chances. But at the same time, coming from post 10, we need to get away alertly and cleanly and get to the first turn, you know, save some ground, establish some position ourselves. Gunrunner was able to do it from the 10 post last year, but, you know, he's a front running horse and he got away cleanly and was able to do that. You don't see too many horses from way out there having success, so that is a concern.
All right, Todd Pletcher talking about that post position. That's how he started his soundbite there. And coming from post 10 today, bit of a concern. A lot of horses don't fare well from out there, JT. It takes a special horse.
Yeah, well, it's not that it can't be done, but it just makes your job all that much more difficult. And in a race like this with a lot of money on the line, you'd like to have every edge.
All right, going to get to a break here in just a minute right after we bring you your KTA KTOB Spotlight segment for this morning. This monthly segment reminds you that for the 48th time, horse racing's champions were crowned at the annual Eclipse Awards ceremony held at Gulfstream Park Thursday evening. This year, there were 22 U.S.-bred Eclipse finalists, 18 of which were bred in Kentucky. 82% of all finalists were bred in Kentucky, 4.5 times more than all other states combined. In the final results, Kentucky breds collected 8 Eclipse Awards, including Horse of the Year for undefeated Triple Crown winner Justify. Additionally, in the just-released Longines World Rankings, Kentucky breds Roaring Lion and Justify took the top two spots in the three-year-old division with ratings of 127 and 125, respectively. Leading all sprinters with a 124 rating was Roy H. and Gunrunner, a joint winner among medium-distance horses with a rating of 127. Bred in Kentucky and famous across the globe, Kentucky breds not only compete for top purses in Kentucky, but also are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide, unlike most state bred programs. Further proof that it pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more.
We all agree.
We all agree. Absolutely. We're back to wrap this one up right after this here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Great Estates producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat sub. It's going once, going twice. Sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Hey, this is Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Back on the Equine Forum, Mike Pennant-Jutfeld and Mark Otto set to wrap up this edition here for you this morning. Pegasus World Cup coming up later this afternoon. Our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern. One more reminder, that's a different SiriusXM channel than you're tuned into right now. That is SiriusXM 93, and you can always stream us on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, or Bluetooth us in your car at horseracingradio.net. Gentlemen, been a lot of fun here today. What? KukulCon again? What are you holding that up for? Come on.
He's the number one cheerleader.
I'm telling you.
Is he last?
We got a
he may
feeling.
Be last.
We
he
got a
may
feeling.
Be last.
Now we got a feeling. Frankie wouldn't have come in. Now.
All right, well, we want to thank all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Kicked it off with Mike McCarthy, with Kate Hunter, with Bernie Sams, and, of course, our thanks to Bill Mott and Todd Pletcher for taking the time earlier this week. Looking forward to this afternoon, guys. Should be a lot of fun.
It'll be exciting. Good day.
Yeah, ready.
All right, 4 Eastern is when our coverage kicks off for
Bring
you here
your umbrella.
On the network. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio, to my beautiful wife, Michelle, here on site. For Jude Feld, for Mark Otto, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you 4 Eastern later today.
Good night, Barbados. We're coming for you.